than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and watching us on YouTube. Joining me, as always, Josh, what's going on, man?
You got it, Brandon. How was the event, by the way?
Oh, the event went great this weekend. It was our best one. 130 people came out to support the cause.
That's awesome, man.
Definitely raised a lot of money, and we had somebody from the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation come to the event and say that with this year, they're expecting just my family to raise in the last 5 years, including this year, $30,000 to go to the cause.
That's great, man.
Yeah.
Glad. And, of course, it sucks I wasn't a part of it, but I went away from vacation and visited my brother, so it was kind
of... Would have loved to have you there, but family comes first, yeah, of course. So,
as is with the situation you're in with the event. So, yeah, I just wanted to ask how that went. I'm glad it went well, and the baskets were well received.
Baskets, everybody loved them.
I heard somebody was a big winner. Is that true?
Did somebody
win like multiple times?
Well, one table won, I think, $1,500 worth of stuff. Like, they won nine baskets. Yeah,
you got to be. That's a lucky table.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But hey, lots of Ravens news happening this week, so of course we got to do a show. Let's start it off with we're going to end with the schedule, but here we go. Let's talk about Jimmy Smith. He's re-signed, 4-year new deal. I think it's $48 million bucks. Had a good season up until him getting injured last year. Had a rocky start as a Raven, but overall, I got to say, this strengthens our defense, which has already been kind of weak coming out of last year. I'm very happy with Jimmy Smith coming back and kind of having a long-term deal here. Him and Webb definitely adding to that that defense that's struggling right now.
Absolutely. I'm fired up about that extension. I've always said that Jimmy Smith, when he drafted him out of Colorado, I knew he was going to be a formidable force back there in the secondary. I knew it, and he had some key plays with us in the Super Bowl run. You remember the Michael Crabtree, the four downs of the goal line stand, as we call it, as he knocked the ball out on second down, and then he was in part of the play where, you know, they always say the incidental contact where Crabtree pushed off, and it was kind of like they were locked in, and again, you know, Jimmy Smith locked down corner, and I swear we would have been in a Super Bowl last year if it wasn't for Jimmy Smith being hurt. So with that being said, not to put too much pressure on Jimmy, he can handle it. But again, it's what it is. It's the writings on the wall. It's number 22 back there, and this is what's pretty cool. I have it up here, and really wanted to break this down because this is pretty cool. Because you know how a lot of people chase the money.
Yeah.
You know, the NFL's a lot about the money. What can I get? And rightfully so, because these players, everybody says they're money hungry, they're greedy, but they only work for, what, 10, 12, 15 years max, and they have to make as much money as they can for their families.
Look at what happened with Helody. He wanted the most money he could get, and the Ravens kind of were like,
And Reed was the same. He went to Houston because he wanted some money in his career. But Jimmy Smith was quoted, and I really thought about this because he didn't really break the bank with this deal. And this is Jimmy Smith in quoting this, and I'm quoting Jimmy. Quote, "For me, it was never truly about being the highest paid corner," Smith said. Quote, "I knew I couldn't be that on this team, and to be here just because of the talent already spread around, you have to pay other people, so I knew that was going into it." And then he was also saying that, and this is a reference to general manager Ozzie Newsome, his best football is still behind him. This is Ozzie speaking about Jimmy Smith. "If he doesn't get hurt in the Cincinnati game last year, I don't know that it could have ended up as a player, but he was definitely trending up. Like I said, we would have been in the Super Bowl, I believe, if it wasn't for that injury, because our secondary gave us the problems. They picked on Melvin the whole game.
Yeah.
Patriots exploited that, and that led to two touchdowns to our demise and ultimately the game winner. And like I said, Smith quoted again, "I'm focusing on now getting healthy, getting back on the field. That's all my focus." So we know he's going to get healthy. We know that his problem is staying healthy. That's a lot of players' problems these days. But I'm very excited to see him, and especially a cap-friendly number, a team-friendly number where he's not breaking the bank. He's not requiring a lot of money. He says, "Hey, I'm here to win. It's a winning culture, and it just says a lot about this team, man. It fires me up. Eric DaCosta stays and doesn't take a general manager position. He could have taken a huge pay raise, but he decides to stay with the Ravens because we know what we're building here, and I really believe that he's going to be in Ozzie's place when Ozzie steps down.
Well, you know what? Yeah, it's very nice price tag for Jimmy with his with his price tag. Now the Ravens have about $10 million, $11 million to use. If somebody were to become free or to use on a couple rookies, if they want to make some moves because the draft is next week, they have a lot of picks they can use. They can move up. You know, a lot of stuff could happen next week in the draft, and now they have some money to play with. So that's really cool too. So
well, and listen to these numbers. You said speaking about the money, and this is at his grave. His contract could be worth up to $48 million over the 5 years,
right?
But it's worth about $10.27 million annually.
Mm-hmm.
And given the, you know, the corners out, they got the Revis, you got the Shermans, you got the Petersons.
Right.
Now, Patrick Peterson, not Adrian, obviously. If you look at those, Darrell Revis' average is 14.02 million. Patrick Peterson's 14, and Sherman's 14 million. And Joe Hayden, the Browns, our divisional opponent, he's 13.5 mil. So where Jimmy Smith talent, he's up there in talent, but he's $3 million cheaper. So you get the picture there. So it's not about making the most money. These players know, if they're savvy with their money and finances, they don't need to make $50, $60 million. They just, you know, do with what you have and be on a winning team. And he knows that we're on the cusp again, and I think he knows something great here, and he knows he can be the superstar in the secondary with Webb being with his knees. I don't know how Webb he's going to come back, but with Smith back there, I'm very excited about this extension. When I read that right before the schedule release, I was like, this is going to be a big week for the Ravens.
Yeah, absolutely. So great to have him back. Good price tag. Hopefully he can stay healthy. Hopefully he can stay out of trouble as well. You know, he had a couple problems last offseason, but hopefully that's all behind him, and he can really add to this team. And I definitely like that. But let's talk about somebody else real quick. Of course, off-season workouts have started. A lot of the guys came back this past week to Owings Mills, to the Castle.
This is good, by the way.
What are you drinking?
It's strawberry banana smoothie from McDonald's. Had eaten.
Oh, okay.
Just saying. It's very delicious.
We saw a lot of familiar faces. You know, Kamar Aiken was in town, Brandon Williams, Joe Flacco, Justin Forsett, Marlon Brown. All those guys are back to work out. But one name in particular has a lot of people talking, Dennis Pitta.
That's right.
Dennis Pitta came back. So I have to imagine that's a good sign if he's already working out with the team that he may be healthy and may be able to play next year. What do you think?
I think he could. I think what it comes down to is what his hip is feeling like. Can he stay healthy? Is it back to 100%? I don't know. We'll find out. But it's very exciting to see him doing any activities, let alone anything. Yeah. So very excited to see that. And I would love to see 88 out there catching passes for us in the regular season because we're going to need it.
Yeah, so it's great to see him back at the Castle. So obviously something's at least going right here. Who knows? We'll find out eventually if his playing days are over, but I have to imagine this is just a good sign. So let's get right into it now. Let's talk about this. We're going
old
school.
Yes, sir.
We got printouts of the schedule here.
I love it, man.
This one, this is a test. Big time for John Harbaugh. He has never faced a schedule like this before. This one is going to be a rough road. I don't think the Ravens want it any other way.
Do you think it's rough?
This is going to be
think it's rough?
This is going to be a rough one.
I've been hearing some mixed reactions. The reactions have been very, very funny across the board. Everybody, actually, before we jump into it, everybody's been freaking out. Oh, my God. Look at this schedule. Guys, man, I mean, yeah, you look at it on paper, and it's daunting. We had a harder schedule in the last 2 years put together, the opponent-wise. Mm-hmm. In the division, we have the easiest by strength of schedule.
Right.
And you figured, again, I mean, if you go right down to it, here's what I really want to break it down. What do you see? Why do you think it's so tough? Why do you think it's so tough?
All right, well, this is good. So, very first game, Sunday, September 13th in Denver. The Ravens will be opening up on the road up against the Broncos. I would rather see Peyton Manning when it's cold out later in the season because here he is. He's fresh. This is when Peyton Manning's at his best. He's the opposite Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco knows how to end a season, knows how to be in the playoffs. Peyton Manning doesn't know how to end a season, knows how to start one.
It's true.
So,
it's true.
So that one's going to be rough. Then I'm looking at weeks 3 and 4. Cincinnati Bengals, it's a divisional opponent. They had our number last year, so that's going to be a rough game. Not an unbeatable game, but it's going to be rough on our guys. Then a shortened week, of course, big one, Ravens-Steelers. And that week, also, the return of Le'Veon Bell. So that being a shortened week, that being
I think
in
they
Pittsburgh,
did that on purpose. I think they put that in week 4.
Uh-huh.
But you know the Steelers are starting 0-1. because they play the Patriots in the without Bell. So yeah. I already – the Patriots are going to start an 0-1 hole. So I don't have their schedule. I want to look it up, but I almost want to see. It's going to be interesting, but that sucks. But, again, for all the haters out there who are like, oh, the Steeler fans are all crying because you beat us without Bell, and if Bell was in the game, we beat you guys 26-6 at our place on a Thursday night game with him in the lineup. Enough said. Yeah, you beat us at your house when you had him, 1-1. Then we beat you again without him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, we were 2-1 without him, but, you know, here's the thing. We beat you with him, and we beat you without him. What more needs to be said there? Mm-hmm. Tired of all the haters out there. Well, Bell don't scare me. Yeah, he's a great back. He had over 2,000 all-purpose yards for the Steelers before he got here. He was a formidable weapon for him. I can't deny that.
Yeah.
The dude's a stud. But with that being said, it kind of sucks that his first home game back is a primetime game at their house.
I'm hoping he's got a little bit of rust in Pittsburgh.
Or
that's
I think we just
bad.
Knocked him out of the game.
And then it's a shortened week. Can I just go on record here? I can't stand the Thursday games. I mean, I know it's great we're getting more days of football and everything.
Enter rant.
But, oh my, just as a personal thing, like, it's Thursday night. I'm tired. It's like the end of the week. I'm tired. The game will start till 8:30.
Come on, old head.
I'm on, old so head. Old
you're
now.
You're so old. you're one of those guys, I don't want to watch the league. He's going to fall asleep.
I am going to fall asleep, man.
I'll text you and wake you up.
Yeah, you know, you have to do that.
Watch the game with me. You won't be sleeping.
Yeah.
You know me.
All right, but then I'm looking at November, and November is looking great.
We just skipped the whole month of October. Does October suck?
We're just going over what I
think.
Oh,
right? That's right. Yeah. I was going to say, you just basically went from the first three games to like, oh, let's talk about December.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay.
You're just trying to get to Miami. I know you.
So the beginning, very rough, but I love the fact that November is all home games except for the 30th, and it's in Ohio, which really isn't that far away, so travel isn't really going to kill us in November, but it's all home. There's a bye week in there, which I think lands at the perfect time, and I think it's a few teams that the Ravens will be able to have the upper hand with. So even though it's starting out really tough for the Ravens, it's a lot of West Coast, which I don't care who you are, at travel is going to affect you. I went to San Francisco for work once, and it took me 2 days to adjust, and I was there for just like a day and a half. So, I mean, it does wear on you coming back and forth. I'm interested because the Ravens did ask to stay in California, if they're going to allow them to do that for a couple of these games.
Well, and especially because they're in Denver,
yeah,
and then they go in Oakland, so I don't know if it's like they go halfway across the country or three quarters, and then why not just complete the trip?
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're going to go to Denver, come back home, and they go, oh, wait, that's travel. So with the Ravens, they probably will sort of set up shop in Denver. I don't know what they're going to work out there, but interesting to see what they do.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by that. But the beginning of this, all those West Coast trips are going to be rough. But then I think just the fact that we're staying home for so long in November is great, because it really is going to help them later on in the season. As we know, the Ravens do play better in November and December, so I think this is all good things for them. I think you're getting the hard stuff out of the way first. This is a tough schedule. It's not an unbeatable schedule.
Right.
The Ravens will be able to do what they have to do. But there is definitely some hardships that they have to go through this season to get to the Super Bowl, which I think that's what Harbaugh and Flacco and all those guys thrive off of.
They do. And I'm actually speaking of the bye weeks. They do thrive off of the schedule. I mean, it is the NFL. Who said it was easy? But you said something about the bye week. It fits right there. You're saying in, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, week 9. Right in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
You play 8 games, have a bye week, and you play 8 more. And then you have the playoff run if we make it that far. And I'm actually taking the liberty of looking at the last few seasons of where our average bye week is. It usually falls within the middle of the schedule.
Yeah.
Last year it was odd. It was week 11.
Mm-hmm.
Last year's 2014 was week 11. I'm going to go on 2013 to see what it was.
Before that, I guess 2010 through, I guess, 2013, it usually was Halloween week.
It's right around, right after between Halloween and Thanksgiving. It's usually when the Ravens have their bye week. Now, the 2013 regular season, their bye week was week 8.
Mm-hmm.
So they played 7 games. So they played 7 and then bye and then 9. And apart from 2013, they did lose after the bye week to the Browns. Mm-hmm. So usually the Ravens are pretty good after bye weeks under Harbaugh's regime as well.
Right. What was it a couple years ago? They had a bye week in week 2 because it was a hurricane that hit Houston. You
remember
that?
They had to play, and they played Houston, and then they had to play because they had to move the Houston game to their bye week.
Yeah.
And then they played like 11 straight games or 14 straight games. It is rough.
Yeah.
Well, I always feel for the teams that have a bye week in like week 4 or 5. It's like, But I was interested to see with the Super Bowl winners in the past, like, or the successful teams, not only Super Bowl winners, but, you know, the opponents. And, of course, we're always in the Elite Eight and the NFL and the division round every year, it seems like, what their bye weeks are versus the teams that have the early bye week. Do they suffer?
Yeah.
And you don't know about the injuries, but that's a great take on the schedule, sir.
What about you? What are you looking at? So you're thinking it's not bad. It's not great. It's, you know, kind of middle of the road. Or are you happy with the fact that we're going to the West Coast so much that we're getting these rough guys?
I have
out
so
the
many
beginning?
Angles on the schedule. I don't know where to begin. It's going to be a good one. Opening at Denver, we all know what happened the last time. But again, Peyton's older. Again, I don't want to sit here and pick wins and losses way too early, especially with our team being, I wouldn't say in shambles, that's a bad word for it, but we're incomplete.
Yeah.
We don't have a receiving corps yet, we're not drafted yet, we may sign a free agent, we don't know.
Yeah. And,
so it's hard to sit here and say, loss, win, win. I mean, you can, but...
Yeah. And who knows what's going to happen with the draft, and we have a lot of guys who this is going to be their first to second year
exactly.
playing. So somebody might come out and shine like that we're not expecting.
But you can also say that about the Broncos because they lost Julius Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
And Peyton's a year older, and he definitely didn't have the arm strength until last year.
No.
I mean, he threw it away. Demaryius Thomas was wide open down in the sideline. I was watching one game, and Peyton just missed it.
Yeah.
It was way underthrown, a lame duck, and it was picked off.
Mm-hmm.
So... There could be a lot to be seen, but and I like the storylines because it's Kubiak, you got Owen Daniels,
true.
It's Denver. I might be going to that game. Who knows? That might be my. I'm either looking at that or Arizona, but I don't know yet. We haven't gotten that far, but I did price flights today. I've already been on top of it. You know me.
Yeah.
I got to go to at least one road game. Another road game I've already seen is a lot of the local places have been getting the drove shirts up. San Francisco's already been a popular one.
Oh, okay.
But again, Harbaugh's not there, so it's not going to be the Harbaugh, but
yeah.
It is San Fran Super Bowl
brand
rematch.
New stadium. It's where WrestleMania was this year.
Yep, that. And then you got Torrey and Bolden.
Mm-hmm.
So you get kind of a lot of storylines there. Looking at the schedule, yeah, you're right, because it starts out, we only have two home games in the first five games. And if you look at it, we have three. Okay, before the bye week, we have eight games, then the bye week. So it's 8 weeks and a bye. We have three home games, Cincinnati, Cleveland, and San Diego. They're all spread out. It's two away games to start, home game. Away game, home game, two away, then home game, then a bye.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the problem. Everybody says that, okay? Here's where it gets awesome. And again, you know, the Ravens' history, they get better as the season goes on.
Right.
They get hot and the playoff run. Okay, starting at, this is the 1st of November against the Chargers, and there's a bye week thrown in there.
Mm-hmm.
Home game, bye week, home game, home game. That's three home games in a row. Count on 1, 2, 3. We go two on the road, Cleveland and Miami back-to-back. Home game, and home game.
Nice.
Then we end in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So you look at it that way, I've never seen a schedule this unique where I've seen the Ravens once play three in a row at home.
Yeah.
I think it was like 2 or 3 years ago where they played the Chargers, Steelers. It was like kind of like weird, something like that. Where they, and then it was something weird like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I have to look back. But I've seen this once in Ravens in history where I had three straight home games in a row. It's very unique because November and December where teams get hot. Apart from the Cincinnati game at the last game of the year in early January, January 3rd, it's a little late, but how the schedule stacks up, is starting in the 1st of November home game, we only go on the road twice. From November 1st through December 27th.
That's a huge opportunity for the Ravens, huge pro for them as
right.
well, because we know how much M&T Bank Stadium, how important
right.
that place
right.
is, and how much the fans affect the players.
I mean, obviously I'm always an optimist, you know, half full, not half empty kind of guy, but it's just like everybody's like complaining. But there is a second half of the schedule.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I knock people aside the head, I'm like, look. Like, take your narrow-minded goggles off and look. Yeah, three home games in eight, but then you have 2 months of football where virtually you're home the whole stinking time.
Yeah.
And playoff push, a lot of them in there. And here's another thing with the division. In the first half of the season, we have half our divisional games right there.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them are at home. One of them's a short week at Pittsburgh. So let's say, and I'm not going to sit here breaking 12-4, 11-5, 10-6 records right now because
I said
the teams are incomplete almost. But even if you look at that, let's say we lose at Denver, we win at Oakland, we're 1-1. We beat Cincinnati, we're 1-2. That Pittsburgh and the Cleveland Browns game, by the time we go to San Francisco, we're going to know where we stand.
Yeah.
Because we can either be 2-3, 3-2, or we can be 4-1. They're kind of like, let's see. We usually beat – Cincinnati's usually been giving us problems, but I see us winning that home game. So just breaking it down, you know, I can concede losing at Denver, Oakland win, Cincinnati win. Let's say Pittsburgh beats us. We're 2-2. We beat Cleveland. We're 3-3. So I can see us – let's see, 1-2, 1-1, 2-2. I can see by San Francisco, we're 3-3. It could be dire straits, but I see us – it's going to be an interesting schedule. So you can kind of see it can go either way there. I'm excited because we get 5 primetime bids.
That's huge.
I love that. And it's tied for the most in franchise history. We didn't have that many after we won the Super Bowl.
That's true,
which is odd. And we didn't have that first game. But we know that debacle, so we don't need to go there. Get people fired up and ruffle their feathers. But, you know, with that being said, we get 2 Monday night games again, and I know everybody's been situated, but I saw this. We got a Monday night snub. We've had 1 Monday night football home game in 8 years.
Yeah.
8 years. That's just unheard of. That's just unheard of, man. But and my only concern is, too, is the Seahawks primetime. And I'll let's back the train here. Primetime games. And we got them all covered. You know you hate your Thursday night games, but we got the Thursday night, Monday night, Sunday night games covered.
Right.
We play Thursday night at Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
We play Monday night at Cleveland. Or actually at Arizona first, then we play at Cleveland. Then we have 2 Sunday night games are at home, our primetime home games. We have 3 primetime home games on the road, 2 are at home. The Seattle Seahawks, and they're 2 or 3 weeks. The last stint of the home season, Seattle Seahawks, Sunday night football, you know, the defending 2-time NFC champs. They could have been 2-time Super Bowl defending champs. Should have been. They ran the football. I'm just saying. And then you got the Steelers again on Sunday. I think with that, there could be a caution. Now, I always put this as a disclaimer. With the late games on Sunday Night Flex, the NFL does have the ability to flex those out. So if one of these teams or both are out of the playoff contention, I hate to say it about the Ravens, it never is true, but you never know, that they could flex that game out for a more important game.
Right.
I'm always saying that could happen for the Seattle game. That could be moved to a 4:20 game or 4:30 game. I don't think that would be the case for the Pittsburgh Steelers-Ravens game because that's a home game for us, and given the fact that it's the second to the last game, it's our season finale at home, that, and it ends with 2 divisional games, that could be for playoff racing, divisional seeding.
Right.
So I don't think they would move that. I don't think they would flex that. I can see their Seattle Seahawks game being flexed. So I'm not really – I'm excited, but I'm not too excited because – it happened before where we've had a Sunday night game late in the year and it got flexed out to a 4:00 game because it was a less billed game. So, again, there's a big disclaimer there. So it could be – it's 5 primetime games, could be as many as 3, but the Thursdays and Monday nights are locked in.
Yeah.
They're scheduled early. They're locked in. So we're at least going to be in the primetime spot. But have we had a problem on Monday football? Last year, Monday Night Football, we took it to the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, come on, man. I think we do well. But I'm very excited with this Pittsburgh game at primetime and just to start it off.
Let me talk a little bit about this one. November 30th at the Cleveland Browns. That's a Monday night game. It's cool. It's in prime time. But think about this: if that means if we're on Monday night football, no football at all for Thanksgiving weekend. So no Thanksgiving game and nothing on Sunday. So that's a long time to be, you know, sitting in front of your TV eating turkey and you know, no Ravens football to watch. So really, they're making you wait it out and to see the birds.
They are. They're making you wait out. Speaking of that, I did find out that the speaking of Thanksgiving night game, as far as the NFL is concerned, they're retiring Brett Favre's jersey on Thanksgiving night. They got the Bears and the Packers on the Thursday night billing there.
Yeah.
Sunday night football. I know starting off the season we had the Cowboys and Giants. Remember Odell Beckham's catch against them? Who could forget that? That was amazing. Probably one of the greatest plays I've ever seen in regular season history. Starting off well. I mean, and then we already know we have the Steelers and Patriots start off the season to kick
that'll
it off.
That'll be a fun one to watch.
It will be, especially for our interest because we like to see them to lose, but it's football's back. We're definitely going to be watching. And as a Ravens fan, you're going to hear the complaining. These two teams I hate. I'm not watching the game. You're going to be watching at home. I'm going to be guaranteeing you that. And I'll be missing this game. But the schedule, I'm tickled to death, man. I mean, you got 3 straight – basically, you got 3 home games, 2 road games, and 3 straight home games again. It sets up well. I mean, you got Jacksonville and St. Louis at home back-to-back with a bye week with the Chargers. I mean, essentially, let's say you go after Monday Night Football at the Cardinals, you pretty much stay – and this is what's unique about the schedule. We go away from Monday Night Football, We play home game, by home game, home game. So you're basically home for 4 weeks with a vacation week in between.
Yeah.
Then we go to Monday Night Football. So it's like Monday Night Football, home games, Monday Night Football again. So it just sets up well. And if you look at it, it's just I like it. Like I said, it starts off it. Like you said, it is tough. But if we can get through all those road games out of the way, if we can come up out of 500 out of there somewhere with those road games,
yeah.
We only have 3 road games left of the year. We have 5 in the beginning of the year. It's almost like it's reversed. We have 3 home games in the beginning, 5 on the road. Then we have 6 home games, and then or 5 if you count the bye week, and then the 3 away. So it's kind of like it's 5-3, 3-5. So again, if you take it by halves, take it game by game, I think we'll be okay. But I'm tickled to death, man.
Yeah. Definitely tough opponents. Definitely a grueling schedule to start off with. But I feel as if this schedule does bode well for the Ravens, because like we've been saying the whole time, they really do peak November and December. So getting those road win or getting those road games out of the way, getting those West Coast trips out of the way,
yeah, they're early too,
is good, because it's also not going to mess with the travel and everything, like I've
and
said.
And you know what I love too is looking at the schedule. Baltimore football weather, cold.
Yes.
All the good home games are almost cold weather games.
Yes.
So it fits well for Baltimore football. For that tailgating weather, it's not like, you know, it's not like we're playing these games and it's like, oh, the good games, the good early, I mean, the 2 regular season games in the beginning are Cincinnati and Cleveland, 2 divisional games.
Yeah.
Then you got the Chargers. Yeah, no one's going to be really going to come see the Jaguars and Rams, but it really hits up because you got the Seahawks, the Chiefs, and the Steelers at the end of the year. So I think with that being said, there's a lot of draw there for the fans and for the cold weather games in our playoff run. We have those home games to put under belts and say, you know what, guys? We can look at the month of December and go, we have 5 games in December. Well, actually 4. I'm sorry about that. Then the January season finale.
Yeah.
If you look at the last half of the schedule, we have 3 out of 5 at home. Let's say you win 4 out of 5 there, or 3 out of 5.
Yeah.
You're setting up shop there. So depending on where you are record-wise, you can reel off all 3 of those home wins, beat the Seahawks, beat the Chiefs, beat the Steelers. Who knows, that Cincinnati game may not matter. You know, so it's kind of like I'm already predicting a bold prediction here. Divisional game will be that Pittsburgh Steelers Sunday night game. That's going to be for the division.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think – and I hate to write off the Bengals because they've been so good.
Yeah.
And it is too early to do divisional predictions in the season. After the draft, we're going to obviously do the show, and as it gets closer to training camp, we're going to do the schedule predictions.
Yeah.
You know, once our team's full and we know what our roster kind of looks like, I'm going to go into it and dive in and say, okay, this is what we're going to be. But it's really hard to sit here and pick 8-8, 9. You can't really say 9-7, 8-8. You can look at it on paper and say, if you just look at it, I could see a 9-7 season, 8-8.
Yeah,
I can just say that right now, because a lot of them are like, with our team now, but a lot of teams have switched players, moved players around.
Yeah.
You know, the Niners are a question mark. Jacksonville's Jacksonville. The Browns have some weapons, but you never know quarterback. The Chiefs, question mark. Oakland Raiders, that should be an easy win.
Yeah.
Denver, it's going to be an intriguing matchup, but I like how we started with it.
Yeah, I think that we're going to have a lot of fans who are freaking out in the first couple weeks. So, you know, there are a few losses, they're going to be like, the season's over. But this is crazy.
But to say that and say the schedule sucks, I think, is just a foregone conclusion because, again, you're looking at the first half. Because what about the second half? Does that suck?
Second half looks amazing.
The second half looks amazing.
Yeah.
It's almost like the work week.
Mm-hmm.
It's, oh, my God, it's Tuesday or Wednesday. But then what happens on Thursday and Friday? You get excited.
Yeah.
And it's TGIF. And then the weekend. It's like that, man. You got to take it week by week. Yeah, it's a tough game, but it'll be a tough game, tough schedule. But I don't think it's going to be a problem for us travel-wise. The West Coast trip sucked, but you got to do it. But at least it's just not – I don't think it's that brutal.
No.
Especially they give us relief. You know, we got – essentially, like I said, we go to Arizona – Monday night, October 26th, and then we're basically home, and we're not on the road until a whole month later on November 30th. So it's almost a whole calendar month that we're, you know, not on the road, and there are 2 Monday night games. I'm excited because the Ravens usually thrive in prime time and get to showcase that, and I can't wait to get after it. And I'm even thinking, like I said, if not, I might be doing the bus trip to the Steelers game. I might be going back to enemy territory. That was a lot of fun. Be honest with you. It was a lot of fun. Not only to come out of the playoff win, but just to mess with people and just to be in enemy territory, it's just because you expect it.
Yeah. Well, you let me know when you want to go to Miami in December when we got some warm weather.
I might be.
I'll be down for that.
I'm actually thinking about doing that myself.
All right.
I mean, tickets are cheap. I got places to stay.
Yeah, you keep me up to date and let me know, because I'm down for some Miami in December.
We're taking our talents to South Beach right using it, right?
So you brought it up before the show started. You said you've been working out some new ways to end this. So what do I ask you at this point? Do I ask you, did we cover everything? What should I say?
Usually, because, I mean, we about that, you know, it was always, did we cover everything, you know? Ed Reed's guy. What was our old one?
It was, if we didn't, Ed Reed's got it covered.
Ed Reed's got it covered.
And then I said,
Ed Reed's got it covered.
Yeah.
Then we did, not a chance.
Not a chance. Do we miss anything? Not a chance. Now what?
Usually what I always...
Because you came up with Suggs Love a couple weeks ago.
That was you.
That was you.
That was you.
That was you. And then I laughed it off. Suggs Love, I was not a fan of.
I didn't say Suggs Love.
Yes, you did.
I gotta break.
You go listen.
Guys,
to all
did
shows.
I say Suggs Love?
Suggs Love. And
did
you're
I
like,
say? Oh my God.
Yeah.
Did I say Suggs Love? But I was actually didn't really practice it. But it came to me. I'm gonna do something with Joe Flacco.
Uh huh.
Face of the franchise, I believe now. Dubbed the new general by the old general is Ray Lewis. I'm gonna do something. You know how Joe Cole's always just Joe Cole and ho hum, whatever. We got this.
Yeah.
But he's fiery. He's got his own personal attitude there. I want to do something with Joe Flacco. I want to do a sign-up with Joe Flacco. I don't know what it is yet.
Okay.
Not that, you know, we're going to be testing some things out in the near future, but I wanted to tease it saying, I'm going to do something with the old Joe Cool.
Okay.
So I don't know if we want to create something that just says, you know, something about, like, you know, ice cold like Joe Cool or, you know.
All right.
Some variation of, like, Joe Cool. Like,
all right.
You know, like, wasn't that show cool or something? I don't know. Like. I don't know.
We'll think of something.
I just want to throw it out there.
Yeah. And with Joe Flacco, we won't have to continually change it every season.
Exactly. Because, you know, he's gonna be here.
He's going to be here a little bit.
Yeah, no, I think it'll be fun for us. But, yeah, and then the drafts.
Next week? Next Thursday?
Yes, sir. I can't wait.
Yeah, next Thursday. So that's going to be cool. Yeah. We'll probably do a pre-show and a post-show to cover what we think the Ravens are going to do. And then once it's all over.
It's exciting 2 weeks.
Yeah. And so we'll be there to cover that. But if you guys want to continue to talk Baltimore Ravens football, all you got to do is tweet to Josh or I. You can tweet to me at Brando, Cash, and Josh. Where can people tweet to you at?
You can always tweet to me at ItalianGQ52.
All right, very cool. So, guys, that's pretty much it for the show this week. We do this show completely for free. You guys know that it's the off season, but we're still talking Baltimore Ravens football. What we need you guys to do is please spread the word about the show, okay? So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit, anywhere you're social on the web. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too.
We really appreciate the supporters out there.
Yeah.
We
got tweeted today saying, hey, when are you guys going to do a new show? So we do the show for us, and we never said that we were the media. You know, we are not the media. We are just fans who enjoy talking about it, and we have mics, and we record it, and you guys can be a part of that conversation.
We're exercising our freedom of speech.
Exactly. Freedom. Free, because that's what this is, free.
Let's not get on that topic.
So check us out. We're over on Facebook, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Go over to brandocash.com, get information about this show and all the other shows from Brando Cash Entertainment. Stanley Cup playoffs are going on. What the Puck is coming out every single week. Caps Isles right now. Series is tied 2-2. It could go either way.
By the way, did you guys talk about the incident up in there with the fans?
We'll talk about that. We're doing that tonight.
I can't wait to hear about that because I'm a little bit fired up.
But
I heard the statement that the Islanders issued. Which
was dumb. I mean,
I was like, are you kidding me? So I just wanted to at least bring that up. We'll talk about that. Yeah, because I'm very concerned because, you know, in the NFL it's happened a lot and we've seen the Yankees-Orioles fight already this year. So it's like – and I wanted to talk about that too, especially with the schedule release at the upcoming shows is, you know, how fans are turned off by going to games because of all that happening.
Yeah.
And I dealt with it going to New England, so I know how it is.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that on What the Puck, but that's pretty much it for The Call this week. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. We'll be back next week with a preview of the draft.
I found out a sign-off.
All right.
Throw a mile high like number 5.
Okay.
Throw it a mile high like number 5, something like that, maybe.
All right, I'll think about that
something
one.
Like
that. Yeah.
It just came to me. Yeah. Just trying to think of something.
So, Josh, you know what? We're done with the schedule show. We'll be back next week, but take us out the way you always do.
That's right, Brandon. Thank you very much, and thanks for always listening and watching on the YouTube channel. Appreciate it. With that being said, we got through it. Again, it looks brutal. It's the schedule. On paper, you might like it. You might hate it. It might suck. You might praise it, but it's just paper. That's all it is. That's why they play the games. Say, 1 week at a time. but we got to get through the draft. We got to put our pieces together, get our troops in line, let Ozzie do his thing in Ozzie Trust, and let's get right back to work. But I can't wait to be out there tailgating with you all coming in the fall, and especially in the cold weather months. Hopefully we'll have a few snow games there. I can't wait to get after it.
I want some summer sun right now, though.
I know. Yeah. We'll get there. We'll get there. Try not to wish the season to get here, but let's enjoy the summer sunshine and the springtime and summer, shall we? And we'll always go to South Beach in December.
Sounds good to me.
Or sunny California in the early season.
Either way.
Or Arizona indoors.
It's like we're not going to like Cleveland or something. That just that what's in the Cleveland this day?
Cleveland rocks. Doesn't Cleveland rock?
That's what the Drew Carey show taught me.
Going back in the old days.
Yeah. All right.
With that being said, we're going to get back to it and cover the draft, so stay tuned. We got some good stuff coming for you in the next coming weeks. But until then, Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high this offseason.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.